This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Chipper is with us. It'll be a little shorter than normal because we have such a short show. So Chip will go one segment here. Normally multiple segments with the award-winning columnist from the Star Tribune at Chip Scoggins, and Chip is with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. We'll talk Wolves, sir. I was curious how this would play out at the start. Wolves win the emotional play-in game. Memphis has a great regular season record. That building is normally alive. And I was wondering, would Memphis come out especially juiced? Would the Wolves kind of be dragging off that? Or would the Wolves be sharp and Memphis rusty? It turned out that way, but in some ways I think that's overblown because in the second quarter, the Wolves were dreadful. They had 11 turnovers, yeah. And it's a pick-up, you know, pick 'em game at that point. But it was, they were smart with the ball. And again, if there's one theme to that game, it is Anthony Edwards looked everybody in the eye and said, I am better than every single one of you. I don't care that I'm 20. When I need to make a play, none of you mother bleepers are going to stop me. And two straight games in the playoffs against some pretty good talent, he has been the best player on the floor.
You know, Chad, I wrote this after the play-in game. I woke up the next morning and just thinking about how forceful and fearless he was in that game and just thinking, this guy's 20.
Yeah. Yes. Right? Yes.
20 years old, and he, with everything that was going on, the craziness of that game, with the history of the Wolves, and knowing, let's be honest, nobody wanted to play Phoenix, and so that was an elimination game, but that's one, you know, both teams probably should have treated like a game seven. He was the best guy on the court, and he was the best player on the court the other night. But I will say this. We do have to acknowledge, and you talked about the start there, I think Cat had a lot to do with that, too.
Yeah, oh,
and
for sure. Yep.
I didn't worry so much about the emotional kind of letdown, because I figured he was going to come out as hard as he could. Because there's no doubt he probably was embarrassed and felt bad about the way he performed against the Clippers that night. And so you were going to see probably his best effort. And that, to me, is where you watch this series, Chad, Steven Adams cannot handle him. That's just a bad matchup for Steven Adams. So I'm curious to see what kind of adjustments the Grizzlies make on Cat going forward, because that's not going to work for them, I don't think.
I'm with you 100%. I, for what it's worth, and I get plenty of predictions wrong, like all of us do. I said like an hour before the game, I think he's going to go for 28, 12, and 7. Because during the regular season, he was their clear-cut best player. And he had moments where he can infuriate me about the complaining, but he had a great year. And he's a wondrously talented offensive player. Taylor Jenkins is a very good coach in Memphis. I obviously watch the Wolves more than most people in the audience. And Steven Adams, the last two, 3 years, has no chance guarding Cat from the outside and when Cat is on the move. So I thought it would just be starting the first and second half, Adams would have him, and then it would be a steady dose of Jaren Jackson and others.
Yeah.
Well, the Jackson foul trouble played a part, but then Jenkins, I don't understand why he didn't pivot to maybe some of the smaller players or Brandon Clark, because that was a glaring mistake by Jenkins to keep Adams on the floor away from the hoop on Cat, and Cat got whatever he wanted against Adams. That I will be stunned if that doesn't dramatically change on Tuesday.
Yeah, and you mentioned it too. I wonder how much Jaren Jackson's foul trouble really threw off their entire game plan. Because that seemed like the obvious matchup there. And then, I mean, he wound up playing, I think both him and Steven Adams only played 24 minutes. And Jackson was just in foul trouble, and he was off his game. He was worrying about the officiating too. I mean, he still had 7 blocks in 24 minutes. So it can tell you, it shows you what he can impact defensively. But I would think that just early on foul trouble with him disrupted everything they want to do. And I got to imagine that's going to be the adjustment. And Jackson, you're going to see a better effort from him tomorrow night.
Jackson had the third most fouls in the regular season. Cat had the second most fouls. So if either one of those guys gets in foul trouble, it should not be a surprise. I mentioned this when we had a post-game show here on CCO after the game. Somewhere, and I have no idea where he is, I know he's a consultant for the New York Knicks, but Gerson Rosas should be smiling, Chip, or should be crushed that he's not here. Because you look at the moves he made. He inherited Cat, but he hires Finch. It was awkward how he fired Ryan. It wasn't handled well, but Finch is a very good coach. The D'Lo trade, I still don't like, but D'Lo was big on the Tuesday game. He drafts Edwards. He drafts McDaniels. He makes the trade to get Vanderbilt and Beasley in a single deal. He made the Pat Beverly trade.
Pat Beverly was it's one of the greatest trades they've made. Yeah,
For Jarrett Culver, right? Rosas, with his affair and his relationship with people in the office, cost himself a position where this regime would have announced at the start of this playoffs, not just a Finch extension, but a Rosas extension.
For sure. And if he was still here and people were probably talking about some executive of the year nominations for him. I mean, he, as horrible as things ended and all the things you heard about his management style behind the scenes beyond the affair, he put together a heck of a roster.
He did.
And the moves work. And like, we all didn't like the way the coaching fire with Ryan Saunders and sending him out on the road and then firing him, that could have been handled a lot better than it did. But guess what? He got the right coach.
He did.
I mean, Chris Finch is a terrific coach. And so it is a shame that the other side, whatever, how he treated people behind the scenes, coworkers and colleagues, cost him a chance to see this through and see what he could do with this roster going forward too. And it's just, I'm sure he's probably, I would think, kicking himself a little bit that he didn't handle things differently. I mean, because he put together a really, really smart, cohesive. You watch the way these players interact. You can tell this team likes it. Mm-hmm. There's a chemistry. Yep. They like each other. They play well together. It makes sense. And so he did a good job in that sense. And just all the other stuff just didn't, obviously, he was very bad at.
I'll let you go on this. They have a brilliant player in John Morant. And John Morant in the first half was slithering through double teams seemingly every possession. And then they clean that up in the second half. But I thought it was telling. Finch is a very good offensive coach. And Jenkins is a finalist for Coach of the Year. But, Chip, you're watching that game. In the second half, Memphis had no offense, no half-court offense. Mm-hmm. It was Ja, we're going to spread the floor. You basically go in there and try to create contact. They're the best offensive rebounding team. It was Ja, go in there, collide, try to get a call. If not, we're going to try to get the rebound. And the Wolves, a weak defensive rebounding team, held up very well. Their guards and swingmen rebounded the ball. I was stunned that Jenkins labored as a coach as much as he did. You got to run a couple plays, and it was just stare at Ja, stare at Ja. Every team in the league would take Ja, but you got to run a play or two.
Well, that is. I mean, and when he couldn't get to the basket and break him down, and he was basically forced to shoot from the outside some, I mean, that's not going to work. That's not their style. And if they can't get the offensive rebounds, which Vanderbilt, Jaden McDaniels, Towns, I mean, they cleaned it up. And so they didn't allow Memphis to do what they do well. And look at the three-pointers.
Yes.
Wolves made 16. Memphis made 7.
Yep.
I mean, that's
huge.
If that gap can stay like that, and I don't know that it will, but if it can stay – so one-sided on the Wolves' part, and then they handle the offensive rebounding and don't let Memphis go crazy there. I think our friend John Krasinski said the Wolves have two of the three best players in a series. And so that didn't always means you're going to win the series, but it, if, you know, their formula, their night will win them the series for sure.
Thanks, my friend. We'll talk longer next week.
All right, brother. We'll see.
Chip Scoggins, at Chip Scoggins on Twitter. If it was a normal show, we've got about 40 more things to get to, but the Twins reduced it. By the way, the Red Sox always play this day in honor of Paul Revere's ride, Adam Carter. What's the most famous ride in Minnesota history? Our buddy Patrick Royce would say the ride with Royce when it was on KSTP. Prince in Purple Rain when he was driving around. Do we have a specific ride?
A motorcycle?
Yep.
Can I offer up Favre from the airport to, which was covered by helicopters?
That's a good one.
That's a good one. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yes.
What is the most famous ride in Minnesota history? Text me. 651-461-9226.
The Corkscrew at Valley Fair.
When's the last time you were at Valley Fair?
My 20s, maybe?
I mean, it's decades. I mean, are you much of a ride guy? Do you get scared by rides? Do you like rides?
I like rides.
Yeah.
There was a point in time, though, where I suddenly became motion sick on some of these rides, and that's bad.
I think I still enjoy them. I know I was on a couple rides at the fair a few years ago with Q. I still liked them. So Bob Fletcher, the Ramsey County Sheriff, is going to join us tomorrow. I am baffled by what's going on here. Tribune. First two graphs. Ramsey County Sheriff Bob Fletcher, no stranger to controversy. That's correct. Has ignited another one with a proposal for his department to coordinate a metro-wide effort to fight violent crime with a focus on carjacking that would be funded with $3 million state money. Under the plan, Fletcher, again, who's the Ramsey County Sheriff, would disperse the state funds to pay officers from other agencies. The bill is included in the Senate's sweeping public safety package. So I'm just going to get to one other part. You go to the jump. I still get the paper at home. Do you like getting the paper at home, Carter? You don't get the paper.
I get the Sunday paper.
Okay. Here's John Harrington. There's a lot of part of this that doesn't make a lot of sense. By the way, he would be Commissioner John Harrington. Why is the money going to one of the seven counties? Why wouldn't you give the money directly to the seven counties? What is the application process? Who determines who gets it? I think Harrington's right. And Fletcher can say, and a lot of people who believe in Sheriff Fletcher will say, he's done a better job. Is this how it's going to work now, Adam, where one of our governing bodies, and they're going to have to agree, is going to say, this is money to help out an issue, by the way, more in Minneapolis than anywhere else, but still a problem elsewhere. So even though it would be Hennepin County and the city of Minneapolis, but we're going to give it to Ramsey County, and they're going to decide how much money Hennepin County gets, Dakota County gets, these cities gets. That's bizarre to me.
If you're saying, do we have a violent crime problem that includes carjacking? Yes, but this smacks of just a political move.
For sure.
And also, when you talk about a history of metro-wide organizations, this mismanagement goes hand in hand with that. So, yeah, and not having Harrington didn't even know about it until the Star Tribune let him know about it. So, what does that tell you?
This is Republicans saying, here's our fellow Republican Fletcher. We like him more than we like, in their view, the woke Minneapolis City Council. That can't be how it works, though, right? I mean, we can't do this unless we're changing a hell of a lot. And by the way, if you're Republican and you like this, well, let's say if the Democrats take control, are you going to be okay when it's a statewide issue and when your county, your city needs something, but then the Democrats are going to say, no, we're not going to give it to counties as a whole. We're just going to give it to the Democrats, Adam, because we think they do a better job. And that wouldn't make any sense either. So we're firming up the time, but Sheriff Bob Fletcher is going to join us. I've got more to say. You've got more to say. Cook has more to say. Let's do a show at your desk.
I don't have anything more to say, so you guys can go to Dan's desk.
Yeah, I got a meeting, so you just go ahead.
I've got more to say. You don't have more to say, Adam?
I don't.
You don't want to bond anymore?
Nope, I'm good.
Dan, your desk?
Yeah, I got a meeting, so you just go ahead.
Call me. I'll talk to you. Let me get you Adam's number here. Hold on. We'll be back tomorrow at noon. Paul and Jordana are next. Have a good afternoon, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.